For this morning's reading, let's turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians and read chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1.
Nađene da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz druge poslanice apostola Pavla Solunjanima, prva glava. Druga Solunjanima, prva glava.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that when Paul had made his way into Thessalonica and had shared with them the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that many of the Jews, or some of the Jews, the Bible says, were believers. They became believers. When Paul laid it out through Scripture that Jesus was in fact the Christ, that some of the Jews believed, and they accepted that message of the gospel, and they believed it. The Bible further says that many of the Gentiles believed the word that Paul brought to them in Thessalonica. And also it says that of the women, not a few believed the word as it came to them in Thessalonica. And so that was a great beginning. As Paul gets there in 3 Sabbath days, he reasons out to them the scriptures, and there's a momentum there. That seed, that mustard seed, was planted, and there is now a great tree so that the birds of the air would come and lodge in it. There was a great growth of the gospel in Thessalonica. And when that happened, the Bible says there in Acts 17 that the unbelieving Jews were moved with envy. They didn't like this new gospel message that was being preached to them. And so as they were moved with envy, they brought forth certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and brought the whole city in an uproar, and they assaulted the house of Jason. There was immediate persecution to the reception of the gospel. As these believers here in Thessalonica received the gospel, as they believed it, as they had faith in it, as their charity abounded one toward another, immediately there was persecution toward them. And so that's what the context of this reading that we had this morning is, that there were believers there, and they were faithful believers there. And to think that these events happened, this persecution happened so quickly and to such scale that it's difficult. It's difficult to think of such a response of persecution and tribulation that they would so immediately have to endure. Can we imagine just how it would be that when the Bible here says that they assaulted the house of Jason and they brought him out? How would it be if one of us, we hear one of us, one of our families, our household was assaulted as well? There were unbelievers that were moved with envy and they came to one of our houses and assaulted us. What would our response to that would be? What would it be? Would it be as the Thessalonians that they grew in faith? That their faith abounded? Would our faith abound? And would our charity grow exceedingly as it did here with the Thessalonians? So these are some things that we ought to consider as we consider this scripture here together this morning. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they write this now, the second epistle to the believers here in Thessalonians, who are in God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is referred to multiple times in this chapter. And each time that he's referred to our Lord, it prefaces Jesus with the title of Lord, because he is Lord. He is our Lord, and he is our Savior. And so there's a desire as they're writing to these believers which are in God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the desire is grace and peace to them from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just any source of grace and a source of peace, but the source of peace and grace that would come only from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful things that we really cherish in our lives is grace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and peace from him likewise. And so he begins here. It's interesting to note, side note, that there's really only three sentences in this whole chapter. The first two verses are a sentence, and then the large amount of verses here in the center are another sentence, and then the last two verses are another sentence. So there's a lot that is being written here in verses 3 through 10. And so he says here, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, or as it would be the proper thing to do, as would be the acceptable thing to do, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. The Apostle Paul, along with Timothy and Silas, they're acknowledging of the Thessalonians that your faith is growing exceedingly. You've only been exposed to the gospel for a short time, but your faith is growing exceedingly, and the charity that you have one toward another, it abounds. And so they're acknowledging this to them, and they're encouraging them in to continue in this faith that is growing exceedingly and this charity that abounds. And so he says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all the persecutions and tribulations which ye endure. Again, they're acknowledging their reality. They're acknowledging the environment that's there in Thessalonica. You have a faith, and you have patience. But it's not faith and patience in the absence of difficulty. It's not faith and patience when everything's going well and good. They're acknowledging the Thessalonians' patience and faith in the midst of persecutions and tribulations that they are enduring. And so they're commending them. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are commending the Thessalonians for their faith and their patience that they are having and in all that they are enduring, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And so this thought here of being counted worthy of the kingdom of God is reflected here in this verse number 5, as well as in verse number 11 or 12, in verse number 11, being counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Here were the Thessalonians, enduring with their faith and their patience in all their tribulations that they and persecutions that they were enduring. They were being counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And so in our minds, again, let's think about this in our current day. How is it that we can be counted worthy of the kingdom of God? Is it going to be any different than it was for the Thessalonians in their time? Their faith abounded. Their charity toward each other abounded as well. And they were a light to this to the world. And the Apostle Paul here is writing that they gloried in themselves to the churches of God for what they were going through and what they were doing and how their light was shining. They were suffering for the kingdom of God. It wasn't that they received the word with gladness and they lived out their lives in patience while they continued to live out their lifestyles. No, their world was turned upside down. The city was set in an uproar. And there was violence here in the city because of the believers here accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they were suffering for this, and it was a great disruption to their lives. But the Apostle Paul is encouraging, but be worthy of the kingdom of God. And then he continues on saying that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. The Thessalonians weren't retaliating of themselves against those unbelieving Jews, or neither to those lewd fellows of the baser sort, but they were trusting in God, and they had their faith, and they had patience. And they were leaving any vengeance with God. And so he's saying here and reminding them that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation on them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. There will come a time when that tribulation and those trials will be over. And it'll be over because the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal himself with his mighty angels in the clouds. And he will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of those Jews and all those others throughout Thessalonica and the other locations to Colossae and Berea and wherever else they traveled to and the gospel was preached, those that would not accept that gospel, the vengeance of the Lord would be upon them. And they would be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Truly, that is the definition of hell, is to be separated eternally from God, to be absent of his grace, of his peace, of his love, of his light, and to receive all those things that are the opposite of that, and then to endure that throughout all eternity. And so that would be the punishment of that everlasting destruction, because the presence of the Lord will be removed from them completely and from the glory of his power. And he will come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. And why? Because our testimony among you was believed. When Paul, Timothy, Silas, when they came in, and Luke and whoever else was with them, as they came in and as they presented the gospel to the city, and as he reasoned out with them the scriptures which point to Christ and say that this Jesus who was here and who was crucified, he is in fact the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come to give life to all who would believe upon him. And because they believed, that testimony rang out from among them. And not only to them in Thessalonica, but again to that region round about. And many heard that witness and that testimony of those believers in Thessalonica. Wonderful things here about the Thessalonians, their charity, their faith, their patience, and all these good things that they did. But we know that man is fallible, and there is no perfect church or as it was here in this time, neither is there today. And we can read in scriptures that how in Philippians we read that how when Paul was in Philippi or was in Thessalonica, that the Philippians sent to their need, to the Apostle Paul's needs, while he was in Thessalonica. And then we read at the end of this chapter, or at the end of this book as well, where he says that, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies." And so this is the reality again of life. There are those who are believers and who are faithful, and then yet man is fallible. Man fails. But we are encouraged to walk worthy. We are encouraged to walk in a way that would be well-pleasing to the Lord and recognize that, but we are all just men, and we all come short. But our striving continuously needs to be one of having that pleasing, being well-pleasing to the Lord and being counted worthy. And so he concludes this chapter by writing, "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling." The prayers went up continuously. And Jesus Christ tells us that our prayers ought to go up continuously. And so it was here that prayers were going up for the Thessalonians continuously, praying always for them that our God, our common God, the God that we have together, would count us worthy of this calling. That we would be worthy, that we would be found to be worthy of this calling that we have in Christ Jesus, as believers of His, as sons and daughters of the living God, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. It's God's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom. God wants to give us the kingdom. And it's God's goodness that leads us unto repentance as well. But God desires that we would fulfill all His good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. That the faith that the Thessalonians had and the faith that we would have would be a faith that is with power. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God, but he said, with power. I came with power. And there is great power in work of faith, as it was displayed here by the Thessalonians, as those that believed in Thessalonica, both Jews and Gentiles. And this is the objective, that as we would be counted worthy, as we would be believers, it would be that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. This is our objective in life, is to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to glorify our God who sent Jesus Christ. This is our objective in life, that His name would be glorified. And it was so from the Thessalonians as they endured these persecutions and tribulations. It was so of the Thessalonians as they displayed their faith, as it grew exceedingly, and as their charity one toward another abounded. Jesus Christ was glorified in all of that. And they became worthy. They became worthy in that. And it all is because of the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His grace. His grace was given to the Thessalonians. His grace is given unto us. Without God's grace, would the Thessalonians been able to endure this suffering of this persecution and tribulation? Certainly not. Would they have had this great faith that would grow exceedingly and the charity as it would abound toward each other? Would that have been possible without the grace of God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ? Certainly not. And so we look to His grace to help us through. We look to His grace for us to be counted worthy. So what does the Bible say about us being counted worthy? How is it that we can be counted worthy? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Watch and pray that ye may be counted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So we are to watch and pray. We are to be diligent in our spiritual life, knowing that there are dangers around about us all the time. All the time. Whether we are somewhere different in a physical sense or even in a mental sense as to where our thoughts are. We know that we have an enemy of our soul that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we are to be watchful. And then Jesus also says that we are to be prayerful as well. And here Paul, Silas, and Timothy are saying that we're praying always for you and that we are to be in prayer one for another, recognizing that we have a common God and we have a common enemy. And so this is one way that we can be counted worthy, because Jesus Christ himself said, "Watch and pray that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God." The Bible also says that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that we would be pleasing to the Lord in all ways, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is how we might be accounted worthy. This is how it might be that we would stand before the Lord and he would say, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." If we are being fruitful in every good work, as we have opportunities to do good things, that we would embrace them and that we would gladly do them, and that it would not be a burden to us to do these things which we would be called to do, opportunities that come our way to be a blessing to others and to make their lot better, to comfort those who would be in need of comfort, to help in any way that one can help. We are to maintain and be fruitful in every good work. And then also it says here, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in this knowledge. How do we increase in the knowledge of God? Is it not by simply reading His word? And then as we go through experiences in life, that we would recognize God's work in that, and then grow in greater knowledge of Him through these things, that just as it was for the Thessalonians, as they received this message from Paul, Silas, and Timothy, that they believed, yes, in fact, Jesus is the Christ. This is true. And they believed it. And they didn't believe it in that shallow sense of where the seed would fall on stony ground or among the thorns. But it fell on good ground and it brought forth fruit, much fruit, just as it was here that it says that they were fruitful in every good work. And then, as these Thessalonians went through these experiences of this persecution, that they could see God's work in this. And they knew that, yeah, God is going to pour out vengeance on these unbelieving Jews who sent these lewd fellows of the baser sort to us. Those are thugs. In today's language, we would call them people, gangsters type people. They were very difficult, but yet the Thessalonians could see God's work in this. And they knew that God would be with them, and so they grew in the knowledge of their Lord. And this is how they could be counted worthy. And they walked worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. They increased in that knowledge of God. They came to know him more and more, and trusted in him. Jesus also teaches us in the book of Revelation, as he speaks here to the church in Sardis, and he says, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." For they are worthy. They will walk with Jesus in white, for they are worthy. Why? Because they did not defile them their garments that were given unto them. This is how we can walk worthy of the Lord, even as the Thessalonians walked worthy of the Lord. We can walk worthy of the Lord in this likewise, that the garments of righteousness, the garments of truth, the garment of the gospel of Jesus Christ would not be defiled on us, but that we would keep them. And that we would hold fast in these things that we have received and heard. And where there was anywhere where we have erred from this way of what Jesus Christ has taught us, that we would repent. And when we do these things, we will walk worthy with the Lord. And we will have our garments to be white. The Bible gives many examples of those who were worthy. Think of the publican and the Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee went on about his qualities and his attributes and the things that he had done. And the publican just stood afar off and smote upon his breath and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus took that opportunity and said that this man, the publican, went down to his house justified. He felt unworthy. He felt unworthy, but he became worthy. And likewise for us, that we ought to feel our unworthiness. And when we feel our unworthiness, the Lord will bless us as we maintain these godly qualities that he's asking us to maintain, of watching and praying, of being fruitful in every good work, of having this charity one with another, of increasing in the knowledge of God, of not defiling our garments that God has given unto us, the garments of righteousness, of his righteousness. And when we have these things, we will be worthy. But we need to feel our unworthiness. There was a time when there was a centurion that came to Jesus and said, "I have a servant who's really sick. Will you please heal him?" And Jesus says, "I will come to your house and do that." And the centurion says, "I'm not worthy that you should come into my house, but just speak the word, and it will be, just as I know that when I speak a word, when I say go, one goes, and when I say come, one comes, or do this, and they do that." And so the centurion had faith that Jesus could heal his servant. But the centurion didn't feel worthy that Christ should come to his house. He felt that unworthiness, just as that publican felt that unworthiness. But that publican, Jesus says, went to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. And Jesus said, "This centurion, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And Jesus healed that servant of the centurion. It takes sometimes a feeling of unworthiness or inadequacy to become worthy. In all things, we ought always to put Jesus Christ first in our lives. For us to become worthy, for us to be his, we are to have Jesus Christ to be first in our lives. In all things. That means in our relationships, and in those things which we would possess, and in our goals or our aspirations of life, Jesus Christ has to be first for us to be worthy of him. Jesus Christ says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Not worthy. Not worthy. If we have a relationship, an earthly relationship, that's more precious to us than our relationship with Jesus Christ, we become not worthy of Jesus Christ. "He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so we are instructed how to be worthy, and we are instructed how not to be, how it is that we would not be worthy of him. Further, he says, so he speaks there of relationships, and then he speaks of ourselves, of our life. He says, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we elect not to take our cross and follow him, we're not worthy of him. We're not worthy of him. He tells us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. And when we do that, we will be worthy of him. Our lives will be rich. Our lives will be full. And we will know him, and we will receive these blessings from him. And we will know that his presence is with us. If we yield ourselves to him, if we are watching, if we are praying, if we are being fruitful in all good works, if we are increasing in the knowledge of God, if we are keeping our garments and not defiling them, then we become worthy. We become worthy. Our faith will grow exceedingly. Our charity one with another will abound. And his presence will be in our lives. And we will feel his love and his joy and his peace that he gives unto us. And all that, all of his good pleasure will be fulfilled in our lives. Is there something more to life than that? Can we achieve a higher plane than that? Is not this the greatest joy, the greatest thing that a man can receive? Is to have the goodness and the good pleasure of God fulfilled in us and to know him and have faith in him and trust in him? This is what he's calling us to. May God find each and every one of us worthy and bless his name. Amen. Amen.